And WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the Todd Albaugh Show along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. We are joined by Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. A very special edition, Terry, as we are awaiting remarks from the President of the United States.
President of the United States originally scheduled to speak an hour ago about the U.S. response to the situation in Israel. But we have since learned is that the President, the Vice President, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were on the telephone to discuss the United States support for Israel, according to the White House. It is the third phone call that Biden and Netanyahu have had has since the beginning of the conflict on Saturday. The White House plans to share a readout of the call shortly. The president is expected to deliver remarks on the conflict from the state dining room imminently, that is. Those remarks, again, have been delayed, but we expect them to begin quite shortly, and we'll bring it right here on Civic Media Network radio stations.
Terry, we were expecting this to happen about an hour ago. We, along with the national news networks, awaiting those remarks, kind of vamping here, and we appreciate Will Walter for joining us as well last hour. But rather unusual for this to be delayed that long, and being on the phone with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu makes one wonder kind of, you know, what was said at that meeting. Was there significant information? Were there changes in what the President Biden was planning to talk about? Obviously, it was big enough to delay for at least an hour.
That's the question, that the million-dollar question, right? If you will, right
what
now.
Was
what was said? Is anything new since the last time they spoke? They've spoken three times since Saturday. So what is different at this point compared to then is not yet clear, but we hope that perhaps the president's address will bring some clarity to all of these questions we have.
As you reported last hour, still discrepancies on the total number killed both in Israel and Palestine since the attack by Hamas over the weekend. Latest reporting says it may be up to 1,600 people killed total since the war began over the weekend. Of interest, I think, to many of our listeners, particularly here in Wisconsin, is now being reported that at least 11 Americans are amongst the dead. Earlier today, it was National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby saying that there were a number, quote unquote, a number of Americans unaccounted for, maybe perhaps a total of 100 hostages in total. We don't know how many Americans might be amongst them. But I think, Terry, that's what many Americans are waiting for, is what is the president going to say to the nation, to say what we're doing to either retrieve those American hostages and to help those families.
Right. Hopefully the speech might give some clarity as to exactly how many American lives have been impacted by this situation. And perhaps that is perhaps what they were talking on the phone. Again, it would be foolish of me standing at this microphone in Wisconsin to pretend to have any idea what was happening in that phone call. We hope that the president's remarks will make that clear. Perhaps the ongoing delay is due to having to update those remarks. Perhaps we have information now that we didn't have an hour, 2 hours ago.
And I think it's important for listeners to remember as well that these are two individuals, President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, that know each other, have known each other a long time. First, when Joe Biden was United States Senator, then as Vice President, now as President. Of course, Netanyahu has been Prime Minister before and has been involved in Israeli politics for a long time. So these are two people that really know each other, haven't always agreed, but have been, in large part, able to work with each other throughout the years. As you pointed out, Terry, in the last hour, this is a situation where the president's executive order authority may be very important, being that there is a vacancy right now in the speaker's chair in Congress.
Exactly. So very much in flux, because many things that involve spending and foreign policy have to originate in the U.S. House. The U.S. House is without leadership right now, so things are very much at a standstill there. So at this point, it would seem that everything is in the president's hands right now in the form of executive orders. What we do know also is that the president got off the phone with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, oh, maybe about 35 minutes ago or so. I presume that whatever is happening now is perhaps an update to that speech that would include any information that we know now that we did not know then.
You're listening to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network, along with our news director, Terry Bell. Todd Allball with you, Mr. Zommers on the board. We are awaiting the remarks of the President of the United States, Joe Biden, live from the White House on the war in Israel right now after the strike by Hamas, which, of course, is recognized by the United States around the world as a terrorist organization, as we pointed out last hour. Important to remember that Hamas is not representative of the entire Palestinian people. These are a fringe terror group that houses themselves within Palestine, within Gaza and the West Bank. And unfortunately, tragically, they are known for using the human shields. You pointed out last hour, Terry, they don't follow the rules of war.
No, that's true. And what seems to be happening here is a violation of international agreements in terms of conduct in war. So many civilians, I mean, the music festival in particular. Yeah. When you talk about catching hundreds of people off guard, extremely unguarded, young people there to enjoy a music festival and, mm-hmm. And then to be subject to this kind of violence and mm-hmm. violation is shocking, and a word that's been used a lot these past 4 days or so, unprecedented.
Yeah, absolutely. Just tragic when Hamas, this terror group, is killing women and children, taking women and children hostage. And now reports via CNN that many Israelis, at least some Israelis, have been confirmed as beheaded by Hamas in these terror organizations. Also updated via CNN a bit ago. And again, to your point earlier, Terry, this is a global situation, right? 8 French citizens have now been confirmed dead, and 20 others remain missing following the Hamas attack against Israel, according to the French foreign minister this afternoon. He said, quote, "I must inform you with immense sadness that we regret the death of 8 compatriots in these Hamas terrorist attacks, and we have been lost with the 20 French citizens who went missing near Gaza." That according to the French Foreign Affairs Committee and National Assembly Advisor. Those missing include at least one child, but it's possible that several children reportedly are amongst the missing. The numbers are likely to continue to rise. France previously said 4 citizens were dead and 14 missing, as Israeli authorities continue to identify victims, according to the foreign minister. Separately, the French government is in contact with Air France to organize a special flight on Thursday to evacuate French citizens who wish to leave Israel. And Terry, that might be another thing, as we're awaiting again the remarks by the President of the United States here shortly in this special report. It might be another thing that people are wondering about, if you have Americans there, about people evacuating.
Right, exactly. We don't know what is going on in terms of trying to get people who may have a chance to get out safely.
Absolutely. I think as we're waiting here, the President of the United States, if you want to call in and discuss this, you're certainly welcome to 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We await the President of the United States. We're going to keep, Terry, if you'd be so kind as to stay around until about 13 after. And
absolutely.
And if we don't get the President by 13 after, we'll just go into our regular show.
We'll play it by ear. Yeah,
we'll go after that. Appreciate News Director Terry Bell being here with us on a Tuesday afternoon, October 10th, 2019. 2023, a special edition of the Todd Allball Show as we await the remarks of the President of the United States, hopefully coming up shortly here. It was delayed. It was supposed to be happening. We got the advisory that he'll be going to the podium around noon. And Terry, as you reported, there was a call. Apparently, we don't know who, if it was Netanyahu that called Biden or vice versa, but they wanted to at least talk to each other before the president went to the podium. We're going to go to our kind of our regular program here. We're going to go to John in Boaz weighing in on the situation in Israel. John, what say you?
Hi, I am a history scholar, and we have to be careful because Russia, Iran, and North Korea are all going to listen to the Arab side only because they're going to trick us into fighting for the Israelites. So if we stick our neck out and help Israel, Russia, Korea, and Iran are going to get ready to make the next move.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate coming in. And Terry, don't want to involve you in the opinion side of things too much. I understand. Well, we'll talk about that after the break a little bit. But I think to the caller's point, it just reiterates the international implications of what Hamas sparked over the weekend with this attack on Israel. And you know, it's factual that this is going to affect all corners of the earth.
It certainly will. There are people who are involved in this directly. Their nations are going to have to respond. You know, allies are going to band together. And, you know, the extent to which this becomes an international situation, we don't know, but we do know that, that we've blown past that exit, I guess, that this well is now put. An international incident. To what extent, we don't know yet.
And again, doesn't regardless of your feelings on this long and ongoing Palestinian-Israeli conflict, there are very strong feelings on both sides, certainly. But I think to Will Walter's point last hour, that it's the humanitarian loss of life, period. It doesn't matter what side, but the humanitarian loss of life is something that we all don't want to see.
No, that is, to say the least. So what we have is awaiting the president's word at any moment now. We have been told for well over an hour. And so I'm guessing what is happening is that the speech is being rewritten with whatever it is the president knows now that he may not have known before that phone call started. They got off the phone perhaps roughly 45 minutes ago, and perhaps we'll hear what the president and the prime minister had to say.
News director of Civic Media, Terry Bell, doing yeoman's work. Terry, we appreciate you today. Stay tuned. We'll resume our normal show after this. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and and Apple holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 54. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 34. Tonight, cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 55. Tomorrow, more clouds and sun. Temps a bit below average Thursday and Friday with highs from the upper 40s to the mid 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 54.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's now 15 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to be with you on a Tuesday, October 10th, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer on the board. Mr. Zommer is going to kind of switch back into normal programming here. We thank News Director Terry Bell for being here and helping us anchor the last hour and 15 minutes or so. As we have been continuing to await remarks from the President of the United States, Joe Biden, on Israel. It was supposed to happen straight up at noon and was delayed by now well over an hour. And word is that the President and Vice President Kamala Harris have been on the phone with Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. And going to be very, very interesting to Terry Bell's point, you know, what is being rewritten? What sort of new information might have come from a direct conversation between the two world leaders, Biden and Netanyahu? And, you know, again, I go back to, I think the most interesting thing for Americans is these reports now that 11 Americans have been killed and perhaps several more, according to a spokesperson for a National Security Council spokesperson, John Kirby, saying that, quote, a number, unquote, of Americans may be being held hostage.
Yeah, it's, again, as you, Terry, and Will Walter all said, this is the most complicated geopolitical situation we've got going on in the world right now. And I don't envy having to navigate this situation as the President of the United States.
Yeah, no, it's and this is a time, quite frankly, where you want experience. And
absolutely,
I don't think there's any greater example of the importance of experience and wisdom and knowledge in the Oval Office than right now, because these are complicated issues. To the last caller, John's call from Boaz in the last segment, it has far-reaching implications around the globe. I personally believe that the president's doing exactly the right thing. I think we have to stand with Israel. They have been one of our longest and most staunch allies, particularly in that region of the world, the only democracy in the Middle East. And certainly, there are disagreements. As we pointed out last segment, the president and Netanyahu had to meet in New York because they didn't want to go to the White House because of this ongoing disagreement, I'll put it kindly and politically correct, I guess, between Netanyahu and Biden, because of what Netanyahu has done inside of Israel, which is trying to control, to change the judicial process in Israel, been unprecedented public demonstration protests against Netanyahu. But this is different in that this is an outside attack. Hamas is a recognized terrorist group, not just by the United States, but by every major democratic country around the world. And this was an unprecedented, unprovoked attack against Israel. Again, some people, to put it into context for us Americans, it is being called seven times what Americans went through on 9/11. When you think about the percentage of population and geography, and then you put the loss of life into the context, it would be like losing seven times the people that we did in the United States on 9/11. And then, of course, you look at just the fact that there are hostages involved, which, of course, we did not have in 9/11. And then there is occupation that Hamas is still occupying parts of Israel. And then you start to get the context, the feel of what the Israeli people are doing. And Biden, President Biden has made it clear. And let's be fair, there are both Democrats and Republicans in Congress who stand in agreement with this. This is not some sort of Democratic stance here. This is a bipartisan stance. Throughout history, both Republicans and Democrats who have occupied the White House have been staunch allies of Israel. And there are certainly Republicans and Democrats in Congress, the majority of whom support what President Biden is doing and want to see that continued. So,
And go ahead. I have one comment on that, that the U.S. and the U.N. have a history of standing by and allowing genocide to happen when there was foreknowledge of it. Like the Rwandan genocide is the biggest example that pops in my head. Like that could have been stopped or at least hugely, hugely reduced. And I hope that a time like this is one where we can put aside differences of Republican, Democrat, or anything else and act quickly and decisively and hopefully stop all of this civilian bloodshed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly what we need. And what we also need is a Speaker of the House, by the way, because, of course, Kevin McCarthy got voted out, unprecedented, first time in history, American history, that a speaker has been voted out. There is no speaker right now. There is an interim speaker, McHenry. But the fact is that they cannot pass resolutions for spending or military aid or anything else without a speaker. And now there's some talk out in Washington that now former speaker Kevin McCarthy was approached to see if he would take the job back at least temporarily so they could pass aid bills for Israel. And McCarthy reportedly said, well, yeah, I'm open to it, but there's this little problem of eight people who voted against me to kick me out. And unless they change their mind, I can't go back there. I can't see that. I can't even for this. I mean, these eight yahoos of the mega caucus, they clearly don't care about America, let alone world issues. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from people like Glenn Grothman, a congressman Republican from Wisconsin, that said, you know what? These people, these eight people of our caucus, don't even have a plan B. So even Glenn Grothman was not in favor of kicking out Kevin McCarthy and going to this uncertainty, this ungovernability of the United States House of Representatives. So, yes, Republicans need to get their act together. By the way, they were reportedly set to meet in closed caucus and allow both Steve Scalise, the number two person in the caucus up until McCarthy got booted out from Louisiana, and also Jim Jordan from Ohio, who chairs the Judiciary Committee, for goodness sake. And these two guys are trying to get to the speakership. Reports are they were supposed to meet with the Republican caucus today in light of what's happening with Israel. Not sure if that's going to proceed. But we shall see. Again, we are awaiting the President of the United States remarks from President Joe Biden on the terrorist attack in Israel. We will bring those to you just as soon as they go live. I want to, while we're awaiting those remarks, I want to flip the page, just not flip the page, but I want to move to another topic quickly. It relates to this, that I think it's important to look at these people, these two guys who are running the top contenders for Speaker of the House. I was talking to a longtime friend last night who tends to still lean on the Republican side. And I brought up Jim Jordan's name. And I said, well, you know, my colleague Matt Flynn calls him GYM Jim Jordan. And he said, why? This individual had no idea of Jim Jordan's backstory. So I think it's important to take a moment to talk about Jim Jordan a little bit. I know Matt Flynn has, I have, others have. This is a guy, and by the way, if you want to call in and weigh in on this, either on the Israeli situation or on the speakership race, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, that's 844-96-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y. You could also text us on the Civic Media app.
And we have a comment from Jeff Perry.
Yes.
We are in very strange times when Glenn Grothman is the voice of reason.
Right, exactly.
Cue the Twilight Zone theme, he says.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mr. Perry. Yeah, right? I mean, you know, not usual that we would, at least I would. I know Glenn. I know Congressman Grothman. Spent time with him when I worked in the state Senate, when he was a state senator here. I've had dinner with a guy when my boss and I, and he went to dinner. Don't agree with him politically, but, you know, Glenn has a take on things. And when, again, when you're right of Glenn Grothman, you probably are in a bad position. CBS is reporting now President Biden is about to address the nation now, standing by for that right now. Apparently we have gotten the signal that the president, here comes the president, going to go to that right now, the president of the United States, Joe Biden.
You know, there are moments in this life, and I mean this literally, when the pure, unadulterated evil is unleashed on this world. The people of Israel lived through one such moment this weekend. The bloody hands of the terrorist organization Hamas, a group whose stated purpose for being is to kill Jews. This was an act of sheer evil. More than 1,000 civilians slaughtered, not just killed, slaughtered in Israel. Among them, at least 14 American citizens killed. Parents butchered using their bodies to try to protect their children. Stomach-turning reports of babies being killed. Entire families slain. Young people massacred while attending a musical festival to celebrate peace. To celebrate peace. Women raped, assaulted, paraded as trophies. Families hid their fear for hours and hours, desperately trying to keep their children quiet to avoid drawing attention. And thousands of wounded, alive but carrying with them the bullet holes and the shrapnel wounds and the memory of what they endured. You all know these traumas never go away. There's still so many families desperately waiting to hear the fate of their loved ones, not knowing if they're alive or dead or hostages. Infants in their mother's arms, grandparents in wheelchairs, Holocaust survivors abducted and held hostage. Hostages whom Hamas has now threatened to execute in violation of every code of human morality. It's abhorrent. The brutality of Hamas, these bloodthirstiness brings to mind the worst rampages of ISIS. This is terrorism. But sadly, for the Jewish people, it's not new. This attack has brought to the surface painful memories and the scars left by a millennia of anti-Semitism and genocide of the Jewish people. So in this moment, we must be crystal clear. We stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. And we will make sure Israel has what it needs to take care of its citizens, defend itself, and respond to this attack. There's no justification for terrorism. There's no excuse. Hamas does not stand for the Palestinian people's right to dignity and self-determination. Its stated purpose is the annihilation of the State of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. They use Palestinian civilians as human shields. Hamas offers nothing but terror and bloodshed with no regard to who pays the price. The loss of innocent life is heartbreaking. Like every nation in the world, Israel has the right to respond, indeed has a duty to respond to these vicious attacks. I just got off the phone with a third call with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I told him, the United States experience what Israel is experiencing, our response would be swift, decisive, and overwhelming. We also discussed how democracies like Israel and the United States are stronger and more secure when we act according to the rule of law. Terrorists purposely target civilians, kill them. We uphold the laws of war, the law of war. It matters. There's a difference. Today, Americans across the country are praying for all those families that have been ripped apart. A lot of us know how it feels. It leaves a black hole in your chest when you lose family. Feeling like you're being sucked in
the anger, the pain, the sense of hopelessness. This is what they mean by a human tragedy, an atrocity on an appalling scale. We're going to continue to stand united, supporting the people of Israel who are suffering unspeakable losses and opposing the hatred and violence of terrorism. My team has been in near constant communication with our Israeli partners and partners all across the region and the world from the moment this crisis began. We're surging additional military assistance, including ammunition and interceptors, to replenish Iron Dome. We're going to make sure that Israel does not run out of these critical assets to defend its cities and its citizens. My administration has consulted closely with Congress throughout this crisis. And when Congress returns, we're going to ask them to take urgent action to fund the national security requirements of our critical partners. This is not about party or politics. This is about the security of our world, the security of the United States of America. We now know that American citizens are among those being held by Hamas. I've directed my team to share intelligence and deploy additional experts from across the United States government to consult with and advise Israeli counterparts on hostage recovery efforts. Because as president, I have no higher priority than the safety of Americans being held hostage around the world. The United States has also enhanced our military force posture in the region to strengthen our deterrence. The Department of Defense has moved the USS Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group to the Eastern Mediterranean and bolstered our fighter aircraft presence. And we stand ready to move in additional assets as needed. Let me say again to any country, any organization, anyone thinking of taking advantage of this situation, I have one word. Don't. Don't. Our hearts may be broken, but our resolve is clear. Yesterday, I also spoke with the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and UK to discuss the latest developments with our European allies and coordinate our united response. This comes on top of days of steady engagement with partners across the region. We're also taking steps at home. In cities across the United States of America, police departments have stepped up security around centers of Jewish life. The Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Bureau of Investigation are working closely with state and local law enforcement and Jewish community partners to identify and disrupt any domestic threat that could emerge in connection with these horrific attacks. This is a moment for the United States to come together, to grieve with those who are mourning. Let's be real clear. There is no place for hate in America. Not against Jews, not against Muslims, not against anybody. What we reject is terrorism. We condemn the indiscriminate evil, just as we've always done. That's what America stands for. You know, just over 50 years ago, I was thinking about it this morning, talking to the Secretary of State, the Vice President in my office. Over 50 years ago, as a young senator, I visited Israel for the first time as a newly elected senator. And I had a long, long trip, a meeting with Golda Meir in her office just before the Yom Kippur War. And I guess she could see the consternation on my face as she described what was being faced, they were facing. We walked outside in that sort of hallway outside her office to have some photos. She looked at me all of a sudden and said, "Would you like to have a photograph?" And so I got up and followed her out. We were standing there silent, looking at the press. She could tell, I guess, I was concerned. She leaned over and whispered to me, she said, "Don't worry, Senator Biden. We have a secret weapon here in Israel." My word is what she said. we have no place else to go. We have no place else to go. For 75 years, Israel has stood as the ultimate guarantor of the security of Jewish people around the world, so that the atrocities of the past could never happen again. And let there be no doubt, the United States has Israel's back. We will make sure the Jewish and democratic state of Israel can defend itself today, tomorrow, as we always have. It's as simple as that. These atrocities have been sickening. We're with Israel. Let's make no mistake. Thank you.
Mr. President, what was your reaction?
You've been listening to a presidential address, a special report here at Civic Media News by the President of the United States, Joe Biden. Remarks lasted about 15 minutes or so. And among some of the remarks by the president, some of the things that he noted in his speech, first of all, painted a very visual picture. And again, the speech was delayed by about an hour and 20 minutes. It was set to go at noon. And apparently the president took a call or made a call to the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. They talked for quite a while. And perhaps what was learned on that speech or on that phone call was put into the speech or rewritten. We don't know. But for whatever reason, the actual address to the nation was delayed by about an hour and 15 minutes. But the president at the top of the speech took extraordinary measure to paint a picture of carnage. There can't be any other word for it. Used words like rape, women used as trophies. The president said, quote, "There are thousands wounded," unquote. Also talked about the fact that there are Holocaust or were Holocaust survivors abducted. Think about that for a minute. People who lived and survived the Holocaust were abducted by Hamas in these actions, these terrorist actions. President of the United States, in a speech, which you just heard, called the actions of Hamas, quote, abhorrent, unquote. And also compared what Hamas has done to the actions of ISIS. Of course, something that we in the United States can relate to, as many people have pointed to the fact that ISIS was involved in the 9/11 attacks here in the United States. But President Joe Biden, in the remarks that just concluded, said, quote, "We stand with Israel." And he said it twice. "We stand with Israel." Wanted to make it very clear that there was no equivocation here, that his administration, he himself, that the United States stands with Israel. Also, we talked about this last hour a little bit with news director Terry Bell and also Will Walter on Town Call, that there are rules of war, believe it or not, that are universally and internationally agreed to. The President of the United States, in his remarks, said, quote, "We need to adhere to the rule of law, the rules of war," unquote. You simply don't go after women and children. You don't do that in the rules of war. And now seemingly confirmed by the president himself that this is what has happened in Israel, that Hamas has broken those rules of war time and time again. Also, the president, in his remarks just concluded, talked about additional military assistance. He brought up that he wanted to make sure that we, the United States, replenish the Iron Dome. For those that might not be familiar, that is essentially the colloquial or the abbreviation for the Israeli defense system. Israel is a very small country, surrounded by adversaries. And largely with the help of the United States, they have created what's referred to as the Iron Dome. Much of it, Patriot missiles from the United States, anti-air defense missiles. And basically what you have is once you have a system in place, it is set up so that this defense system can detect any incoming missiles and destroy them before they hit the ground in Israel. Very common there. I shouldn't say very common, but it's common that the sirens go off. We had Sam Gold yesterday, a dual American and Israeli citizen, spent 3 years living in Israel, practicing law for an American company, representing American military predominantly, who are victims of terrorist attacks in Israel. And Sam told us yesterday, as someone who lived there for 3 years, you would hear these sirens go off and you have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to get to safety. This is part of this Iron Dome. First detection, then warning, then action to try to stop these incoming missiles. And that's one of the big questions moving forward, is how did this Iron Dome, how did the security forces, the intelligence of both Israel and the United States miss this attack coming by Hamas? But the president's saying that military assistance will be on the way to replenish, his words, the Iron Dome. Also asking Congress to take urgent action. We're going to be very interesting to see again as Republicans try to meet to choose a new speaker. Because right now, without a Speaker of the House, Congress is unable legally to pass resolutions or any sort of legislation that would appropriate money to go to replenishing that Iron Dome or to take any other action. Also, I think it noteworthy that President Biden called for bipartisan support, to put partisanship aside. And we've noted on this program that both past Republican and Democratic administrations have been enormously supportive of Israel, as have members of Congress of both parties. We talked about this as well, were anxious to hear it. Of course, we don't want to hear it, but was anxious to hear it. The president confirmed in this special speech, in this address to the nation, that American citizens are, in fact, being held hostages. He didn't reveal how many, the number. But we now know from the President of the United States that American citizens are, in fact, being held hostage. And he also confirmed, President Biden did in these remarks, that his administration is working with the administration of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel to share intelligence and to have U.S. forces work with Israeli forces in terms of sharing information on what he called hostage recovery efforts, unquote. Did not confirm, again, not confirmed, is that American troops are going to be on the ground involved in those efforts directly. Of course, he didn't deny it either. He did not take questions after the speech. But the president went so far as to say that American intelligence and military would be involved in advising Israeli intelligence and military on hostage recovery efforts. This is serious business. Americans have been killed, and Americans have been taken hostage on foreign soil by Hamas, a national or internationally recognized terrorist organization. The president also went on to talk about strengthening deterrence by moving the aircraft carrier Gerald R. Ford into the region, also maneuvering other military. I want to make it very clear to adversaries of both Israel and the United States that do not take advantage of this situation in Israel right now. He said, I have a one-word answer for you. Don't, unquote. The president also talked in his remarks about monitoring domestic threats here in the United States against Jewish citizens. We talked about on this yesterday's show that as of last year, we are at a historic level of rise in anti-Semitism and actions against Jewish people in the United States. President saying that his administration is taking every effort to monitor, deter, and de-escalate any actions that would be threats to Jewish citizens. Also think it's important to realize that, again, this goes back to experience. Someone who's been there, that he is currently working with other world allies, I believe in the name France, UK, and others, and working with them. We said last hour, President or the Foreign Minister of France confirming that there are a number of dead French in Israel as well. Joe Biden's been there. He's worked with these people, a senator, his vice president, now president. He knows the lay of the land. And also, he condemned evil, his words, not mine. He condemned evil against Jews, Muslims, and anyone else. So there's no place for it. And he told what I thought, Mr. Zomers, was just a fascinating story. And it goes back to having experience 50 years ago when he was a United States senator meeting with Golda Meir, former prime minister of Israel. And I mean, here's a guy who's been there, who knows the history, as we've been pointing out throughout the late morning into the afternoon now. This is a complex situation. It's a complex part of the world. It is not a time for on-the-job training. And here's Joe Biden, a guy who's been there nearly since the beginning.
Yeah, I think that the way that he talks about it and sharing that story shows that he is, as much as anybody can, be the right person for the job here. And just a second, I got a sneeze.
That's fine, Mr. We can also confirm, just coming across the wires now, according to CBS News, at least 14, the number now at 14, it had been 11, so we can now confirm 14 Americans have been killed in this attack by Hamas. Mr. Zomers, go ahead.
Yeah, this just terrible situation. I know that that President Biden is going to be very supportive, as he said, and I trust that he will use all of our resources appropriately. And again, just my heart goes out to everybody there and everybody who's affected by this. I know some of my friends from college who are Jewish, been talking to them. They have family in Israel. They've said that their family's all okay for now, and I'm incredibly thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And very sad for anybody who that is not the case.
Yes, certainly our condolences and thoughts and prayers go with anyone who has family or friends living in that part of the world. Certainly a scary time. And this, as we have pointed out, is something that hard to imagine it not escalating any further after these tragic terrorist attacks by Hamas on Israel. Israel is in a position where they feel they have to defend, and they should defend themselves, in my opinion, quite frankly, have to defend themselves. And this is going to set any sort of Palestinian and Israeli peace agreements back an unimaginable amount of time. If you'd like to join the conversation, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, I invite you to call in. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have the app, you can download it at your favorite app store on either the Apple or Android device. We're going to step away for just a moment. We'll come back and take your calls. More conversation after this. This is the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 54. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 34. Tonight, cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 55. Tomorrow, more clouds and sun. Temps a bit below average Thursday and Friday with highs from the upper 40s to the mid 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 55.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday, October 10th. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Appreciate you staying with us on a special edition, at least for this first hour. We were awaiting and then heard from a special speech, a special address to the nation by President Joe Biden on the Hamas terrorist attack on Israel, now the war with Israel. And I thought one of his better speeches, quite frankly, in terms of the way he conducted himself, the way he delivered it. And again, I'll go back to, I don't know anyone, unfortunately, more prepared to deal with tragedy and have real empathy and compassion than Joe Biden, who has lost children of his own, a wife in a car accident, lost another son to brain cancer after serving in the military. This is someone who understands loss of life and knows how to be compassionate. And I thought it was one of the most compassionate, well-delivered speeches of the president's presidential career thus far. Painting this very dark story of, and I'm, you know, assuming that these are some of the things that he learned directly from Prime Minister of Israel Netanyahu on this phone call this afternoon, saying that many of these victims were raped, many were women used as trophies. We now know, according to CNN reports, some of these Israelis were beheaded by Hamas, the terrorist organization, in these attacks. The President of the United States saying thousands were wounded, and that there were Holocaust survivors that were abducted, calling the entire action abhorrent. What do you think? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you'd like to join the conversation, we go to Cudahy now. And Steve, listening to us in Cudahy, we appreciate you holding on, Steve, and thanks for listening. What say you?
Hello. I just have a couple comments on the the Israeli incident with Hamas and then with Jim Jordan.
Sure.
It just proves again, though, that you guys are not as balanced as you thought. And I listened to you guys morning, noon, and night. You guys are not said in its maybe secondary, tertiary, quaternary role. We feel sorry for the loss of life, but it's all this, which is sad. Don't get me wrong. It's a terrible situation. Nobody should lose their life over that in this geopolitical powder keg. But it's a cause and effect. And if you guys don't think that there's some extremes, I get it, that of 60 years of occupation, you got to remember that's the most densely populated area on the planet Earth. And if you guys just think that these are just rogue people, you're sadly mistaken. It's been occupation, and there's such an American foreign policy who's been slanted so much with Israel that even you and your other speaker have said more 99.999% of the time, we feel sorry for the Jewish people and my Jewish friends. I call them, which is fine. I understand it. I get all that. But until you guys realize what is going on there with the occupation, where they even rationed the water way before, so then they can have, Israelis can have fresh water and clean water for their swimming pools, and they ration off the Arabs, Palestinians for their olive groves. It's sadly mistaken. I mean, you guys have to have some balance when you talk about what is going on there instead of just a reactionary what happened on one day on Saturday, which is a very bad situation. I agree.
Sure. Go ahead. I got about a minute. Go ahead, Steve.
The next point with Jim Jordan is, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, is you notice that when the speaker at 3 o'clock hour, Mr. Flynn, tells him Jim. Mm. Well, because the incident happened when he was an assistant coach at Ohio State, there were some sexual assaults that happened when he was there, or he just turned a blind eye. And that's why he's not speaking with the bridge, which he would if he had the chance, with these other right-wing evangelical crackpots about the trans issue and homosexuality and all that. He can't, because he let things parse away which should have been reported about the incidents happened at Ohio State at the, when he was an assistant wrestling coach or something like that.
Sure.
So, yeah, he's got some things there that Matt Flynn has talked about, which I agree wholeheartedly, and I'll just take your comments off there. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you so much. Steve and Cudahy, if you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Appreciate the call, Steve. A lot to unpack there. I'll go kind of in order. We have on this program, and I know others, noted that the loss of life doesn't matter whether it's Jewish or Palestinian. The loss of life is tragic, certainly. And our guest yesterday, Sam Gold, who is a U.S. and Israeli dual citizen who has lived and worked there, has worked on behalf of American troops who have been victims of terrorism, said, look, I mean, I had a Palestinian doctor and nurse treat me in Israel, and they were fantastic people, and has pointed out that Hamas is not representative of all Palestinians. That is true. But I think that the important thing here is that Hamas came to power, whether you want to, I don't know whether it was a free and fair election, but they came to power, and Hamas has been the ones occupying Gaza. And also that Iran are the ones that have been proven to feed Hamas their money and to fuel this terrorist organization. So again, the complexities of the Palestinian and Israeli conflict are long and storied and deeply complex. And certainly there is room for a dialogue on both sides on that. But it's important to remember that Hamas is the one who has taken over and occupied the Gaza Strip against some of the Palestinians' will, using terror to do that, and then using humans as shields. And regardless of what you think of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and the politics, to President Biden's point, there are rules to war. And Hamas, a terror organization, broke those rules by raping and pillaging women and children and now beheading some of them and taking Holocaust survivors hostage. So it's pretty clear which side has broken the international rules of war. That is Hamas. They're a terror organization. I agree with you on Jim Jordan. Again, our colleague Matt Flynn calls him GYM Jim Jordan because, yes, we talked about it on this show before. We'll continue to talk about it. That Jim Jordan was a wrestler here at Wisconsin, a decorated wrestler at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, went on to be an assistant coach in Ohio. And there have been several dozens of wrestlers who at Ohio State who testified under oath in court cases that Jim Jordan knew that this team doctor was sexually assaulting them and did nothing. And there are reports that Jim Jordan then called some of these guys on the phone crying, saying, oh, don't talk about this because it's going to hurt my chances in Congress. The doctor who was accused of perpetrating these sexual acts against the wrestlers in Ohio committed suicide. So the case has kind of been dropped, but Jim Jordan has a lot of baggage. Stay on the phones. We see you. We'll take your calls next hour. If you can stay with us on the other side, don't go anywhere. Hour two of the Todd Allball Show continues after this. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media
News,
app.
I'm Alex Pers-